Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First this morning, Ishka Éireann is currently monitoring 17 areas around the country for water shortages following hosepipe bans introduced in Meath, Westmeath and in Donegal. And with Met Éireann predicting another 10 days of hot, dry weather, this places the spotlight again on Ireland's ageing water infrastructure, which is vulnerable to drought and needs significant investment. And there could be worrying implications for agriculture too. Well, to discuss all of this, I'm joined by Caroline O'Doherty, environment correspondent with the Irish Independent, and Conor Skehan, who's a columnist and former chair of the Housing Agency. So Caroline, let's find out what's happening right now first, because we have had hosepipe bans in several areas introduced last week, and that's stemming some of the local demand in those places. But there are concerns about other parts of the country too.
There are, yeah. The hosepipe bans, which is a mandatory water conservation order backed up by a legal order, came into effect last week in three areas that that total affect about 70,000 people. And what Ishka Éireann is saying is, look, that has stabilised demand. It hasn't reduced demand, but, you know, given the very hot weather when we normally expect demand to increase, it has kind of kept the lid on that. So that allows them to kind of see where they're going, if you like, for the next few weeks, if that's maintained. But there are 17 other water supplies around the country, of various sizes, but they're kind of small-ish, but regionally very significant. So, you know, there's one in Riverstown in Tipperary that serves about 1,300 people. You know, Kenmare and Kerry serves about 2,200 people, and certainly it'll serve a lot more in the summer, the tourist season. Taylorstown, Wexford, that's about 10,000 people. So these are regionally significant water supplies, and they're already in serious difficulty. So they don't have enough water basically to meet the demand, and they're having to be supplemented. Some of it's literally tankering water into the reservoir, and some of it's kind of diverting supplies where they're connected up to maybe another local supply, that kind of thing. But Ishka Éireann also says, and they sent me a statement yesterday, and they put this word in bold, they're monitoring all water treatment plants. So they're keeping a really sharp eye on everything around the country. And we do have hundreds of water treatment plants. Some of them are very tiny and some of them are very significant. They're watching them all because this weather conditions that we've had over the past year, and, you know, heightened by the warmth and in recent weeks, is a concern.
I'm sure you get this question all the time when you talk about this, Caroline, but we are a country known for its rainfall, notwithstanding the fact that we have had a drier year. Why are we seeing water shortages happen so quickly after this relatively brief spell of warmer weather?
Yeah, well, it's because we're known for rainfall, and we get used to that. It's, you know, we've consistent rainfall all year round, and that's what we've kind of based our water supply model on. And, you know, it's quite primitive, but it works when it works. It works very well. This isn't just about the last few weeks of warm, dry weather. We've had a year of below average rainfall. And because we rely on pretty much all the rainfall that falls, we use it. When it goes down below average at all, there's a strain on the system. So, you know, it is, and I know people kind of wonder, like, how can we just have a week of rainfall? And, you know, predictably, here comes a warning about water shortages. And this has been a fairly dry year overall. And it was hard for people to think back because we had a rough winter at times. It was very cold and there was snow, but actually it was just drier right across the country. You know, and there's a European Drought Observatory, and they're looking at Ireland, you know, and they've had a lot of the country under kind of one of the three stages of kind of their drought threats, you know, and most of the country is on a drought warning, a drought watch, which is the first stage, a drought warning, the second stage, and there's a couple of little areas, little dotted around, that they're already saying are on drought alert.
So how would you characterise this? Is it a temporary strain on resources, or are we seeing signs of a much deeper, longer term shift in our overall water resilience?
Well, there are two issues there. I mean, the longer term issue is that obviously the country is growing and the population is growing and the economy is expanding and there are more demands on the water and our water infrastructure is getting older. And the long term prognosis, as far as anyone can say, is that we're likely to get wetter winters, milder but wetter, drier, hotter summers. And you would say, well, that should balance out over time. That's dealing with the climate change that's happening. Because if you have more in the winter and you need more in the summer, it should balance out. That requires more storage of water. And Ishka Éireann is doing that to an extent. There are a couple of new reservoirs, even very recently, a big one in, you know, completed in Sagart for Dublin, you know, a good sized one in part of Meath. There are smaller ones in the works, if you like, around Kerry, Galway, Waterford. They tend to be small, serving locally significant populations of maybe 1,500 or 1,000 or 2,000. But every one of those kind of requires land and planning permission, and you can't have open reservoirs anymore like we did for a long time, you know, for pollution and contamination reasons and for conservation. They need to be covered. So that's all money. Mm-hmm. And as we know, Ishkeran is in the wars over needing more money all the time. For extensive works, just the basic pipelines, never mind, and wastewater treatment, never mind, kind of now we have to look at storage because the security of supply, the consistency of supply from the rain is maybe just we're losing that.
Yep, and they were out even this week on the News at One here on RTE saying we can do the job, but we need the resources to do it. Well, let's hear from Conor Skehan now, a columnist and former chair of the Housing Agency. And stay with us, Caroline, if you will. So, Conor, you were writing recently that we are no stranger to water shortages in this country. Like, this has been happening over many, many years. But if we look at 1976, and you use this example in your piece, Ireland's population was 3.2 million. Now it's 5.2 million. So I suppose it tells us just how serious this situation could get.
It should, and it does. And one of the main points I'm trying to draw attention to is that we tend to look at very shallow histories to understand reality. Looking at deeper histories, particularly around the issue, for instance, of drought, reveals that Ireland is a country that has a very long history of very severe droughts, sometimes lasting for years. And they have been big burdens on the country. So, for instance, Dublin has almost all of its supplies come from the River Liffey and from the Roundwood reservoirs. They were put in place in the mid-1860s after a particularly sharp drought in the 1850s. And at that time, Dublin only had a population of 400,000 people. Now, 2.8 million people largely rely on the same infrastructure. We haven't touched it since then. So there's a twin issue here. As Caroline says, we've an awful lot more people with an awful lot more water uses, and we've done nothing to invest in the critical infrastructure to keep up with it.
But Ishke Aaron have said, you know, time and again that they can do it. They're facing a huge uphill battle, particularly when it comes to meeting the infrastructure need. But they need massive investment in order to get the job done.
I mean, the Shannon Water, just to name one, has been on the books now for nearly 20 years and hasn't moved an inch. The Vartry Reservoir was built within 2 years of realising they needed it. We really have to ask ourselves whether the lack of water from the Shannon, and that's just one project, is really an indication of a much deeper malaise in terms of decision making that goes all the way through from governance and funding down to the level of how we give ourselves consent and planning permission.
And Caroline, on that project, the Shannon to Dublin pipeline, we're told that could cost in and around €10 billion. But also it is subject still and has been over many years to many objections.
That's right. I mean, it's going to cross, you know, more than half of the country. And that's a huge number of individual landowners that have to be, you know, get agreement from. And, you know, there's objections to that. There's objections in principle. There's still this kind of, you know, them and us kind of attitude. Why would we taking water from one part of the country to serve the greedy needs of Dublin and Greater Dublin? Although it would also serve parts of towns across the Midlands as well. And it does seem to be a kind of an extreme solution, taking water from a river that, yes, the Shannon is a large river, very large water body. You know, there are plenty of environmentalists and conservationists would say that already the water extraction from it causes environmental damage. So it has a long way to go, I think, before it gets, on the move, if indeed it does.
Well, Conor, can we look again? And you said that we tend to look back with, you know, with a shallow view of history. So maybe if we look at what you have been examining over the past 100 years, in the 1800s, Ireland was subject to some very serious and prolonged droughts at that stage, which had very major impacts on public water supply and also farming. I mean, what can we learn from those situations?
Well, the first is the frequency in the past. They happened every 10 to 15 years, really, really frequently. And when they are bad, they're very bad. There are reports from farming journals and newspapers of the cattle having no forage, farmers resorting to cutting down trees to try and produce something for the animals to eat. I presume a lot of our readers, our listeners, would know that a milking cow consumes a vast amount of water every day when it's in milk. So all of those things are both the forage, the crops and the dairying are incredibly dependent on it. And that's before we even get to the towns and the needs of the people in town. And then, as Caroline says, we've completely different levels of water consumption per capita now. We've got, with, and I have a household full of them here, a bunch of teenagers having 3 hours a day and washing every single item of clothing as soon as they've used it. We have huge water-dependent industries, which we didn't even have back in 1976, never mind 1863. So we're very unprepared for this reality and the return of it.
So we just haven't managed to grapple properly with this problem or even understand how serious it could be, given that our population is at 5.2 million and we use so much more water than we did back in those times.
Exactly. And it is tragically going to take a drought. There may not be a drought this winter. There probably will be. I've been trying to get my editor to let me write this story since January, because as Caroline says, the droughts don't happen because it didn't rain last week. The droughts happen because of a dry winter. We've had an incredibly dry winter, and in some parts of Ireland, the driest on record. And again, remember, those weather records are very recent. We have an incredibly shallow history of weather records here to allow people to make those portentous statements since records began. They're very recent. But it's a very dry winter we have, and all the signs are.
So is your assessment then, Conor, that something like the Shannon pipeline is a very good idea and that one that should be progressed as quickly as possible?
Yes, it is. But we again are falling into the Irish trap of the grand projet. When we see a project, we immediately form a committee, get a government department, and then put aside the money to do one huge project. It lacks resilience when you have something like that and all your eggs are in one basket. You get yourself into even more trouble, either because it's delayed, as has happened here, or if something goes wrong with it. So Ireland needs to have an attitude that has a more dispersed series of water sources, and in particular groundwater sources. Ireland's Midlands have enormous and very, very productive aquifers that we should be using as well fields. Most countries in Europe, between a quarter and a third of their water comes from well field systems. In Ireland, it's only about 10%.
I think I just checked this morning, and the official figure says 25%, but it is your view that it should be higher.
The well fields, the use of well fields in Ireland is incredibly low. I'm talking about well fields now.
That the same as using groundwater supplies as your water resource?
Groundwater supplies, yeah, they're local systems. And the countries tend to have traditions, for want of a better word, in things like engineering as much as anything else. And our favourite solution is a reservoir up in a mountainous area that takes clean runoff, direct surface water runoff. And we tend to ignore using the well system, except for private individuals. A lot of private individuals use those, but they tend to be too shallow, and they tend to be very prone to pollution by things like poorly maintained septic tanks.
Yeah, and we've been hearing about that today, in fact, where there is a recent report about that. But also, if you are using groundwater, do you run into problems when it comes to runoff from agriculture and the treatment then that will be required associated with that?
There can be. Irish water controls are very sophisticated, and there are aquifer protection zone procedures and legislation in place, and they limit what happens on the surface. Groundwaters are slower moving, and they're slower to interact with things like surface pollutions. Rivers get very quickly affected, groundwater systems more slowly, but the groundwater systems, once the water gets polluted, it's very difficult to deal with it. So it's a slow problem, and this has to be part of a series of legislative steps. But our big aquifers are in the Midlands under bogs, which are very little farming over.
Mm-hmm. So Caroline, I mean, you heard what Conor was saying there, that we tend to look at the big project, whether that is the Shannon pipeline or something else. But is Ishka Éireann looking at other potential interim solutions that might help solve this problem along the way?
Well, I'd say they are doing more reservoirs. They did look at groundwater as a potential, you know, big fix solution when they were coming up with the plan for the Shannon-Dublin pipeline. And one of the issues was that, yes, there is good groundwater sources. And we do actually, we use a whole lot of very small ones in very small regional areas. But there was kind of a mismatch between where it is. Like, if you could find, there is some in Kildare, but you really need them nearest to the biggest demand. And the issue, as Conor says, unfortunately, what groundwater tends to do is it supports a particular habitat above it. So different from a river that passes through, certainly it supports the habitat around it and then it all flows into the sea. Groundwater supports particular habitat above ground. And if we were to take groundwater from areas that are supporting bogs at a time when we're supposed to be trying to re-wet the bogs for all sorts of reasons, you're kind of creating a whole set of other problems. If you take it groundwater below agricultural land, similarly, you're potentially causing issues with the soil moisture in that reason, and you could have every dairy farmer in the country up in arms. It's a tricky one, because so much of our land, you know, nearly 70% of our land is in agriculture. So if you're going to touch the groundwater, it may have knock-on effects that cause more grief.
Yeah. It sounds like it, Conor, might cause more problems than it solves.
No, both of those, with all due respect to Caroline, both of those are myths. I used to be the chairman of the Peatlands Council, so I know bogs. Bogs in Ireland are all rain-fed. That's how a bog comes into existence, where there's more rainfall than there's a drop of transpiration. So that's not an issue. And then soil moisture is maintained by soil, not by groundwater. They're completely different systems. I ended up having to study that a lot when I was examining the groundwater systems associated with big mining projects in Ireland back in the 1980s and 90s. They're myths. They're myths that have got to be dispelled.
Well, Ishkeran did give credence to those, and I know that they didn't think it was going to be a long-term solution.
I was very critical of the early Irish water studies and the speed and dismissiveness of their attitude towards well fields. It was completely improperly and inadequately examined at the time. And as I say, it's an engineering bias toward the big Grand Projet. Groundwater is regarded as being a less glamorous solution.
Well, as they say, they use 25% of their supplies. They come from groundwater right now. Caroline, just on agriculture at the moment, given the dry conditions, what are you hearing from farmers about potential restrictions coming on water usage, hosepipe bans and so on?
You know, at the moment, things are actually kind of good. It's kind of nice to get a dryish spring. You can get planting done, you know, and the grass is still, it's growing and it's warm and all of that. But certainly, you know, the farming forecast out there is that there is a soil moisture deficit, which just means that the soil is that bit drier, the surface soil is that bit drier than it ideal. If that goes on, then you have an issue. I mean, we've had fodder crises, you know, for our farmers for two different reasons in recent years. Either it's been so wet that literally they can't get into the fields, the grass is swamped, they can't cut grass for fodder later in the year, you know, and the opposite then. Things are so dry they can't get any grass growth, and then they don't have, you know, they don't have literally grass for the livestock. So it would seem, you know, the latter is obviously the threat at this stage. So it's being watch very carefully. Certainly if farmers here will be looking at farmers across the water in the UK where they're already in severe difficulties. So that's obviously will add a little nervousness to the situation here. But yeah, certainly, you know, again, there's kind of the EU Drought Observatory, and there's a difference between a meteorological drought, which is the rainfall, and the agricultural drought, which is the soil moisture. And they would have a lot of the country and most of the country under that kind of watch warning kind of situation at the minute.
Well, thank you both for joining us this morning. Caroline O'Doherty from the Irish Independent and Conor Skehan. Now, coming up next, we're going to find out about the news that weight loss drugs could hold massive health benefits. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.